Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
And with you in the studio tonight, you've got me, Bonnie.
Colin.
And me, Mark Edge, coming to you from Florida.
Unscreened caller, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind?
Hello, everybody. Can you hear me okay?
I hear you fine, yes. What's your name? Where Excellent. Are you calling from?
It's Steven. I'm calling from Los Angeles, California.
Welcome,
and,
Steven.
Yeah, I was calling because I was listening to a show from a few days ago. I think, Bonnie, you were on, and one of the topics that had come up was books that might introduce people to the concepts of voluntarism and anarcho-capitalism, something not as heavy as, say, a Mises or a Hayek or something like that.
Yeah.
And I wanted to throw a book out there into the hat for the running in case your listeners might be interested in it.
Go ahead.
If that's okay. Sure. Now, full disclosure, it's a book that I wrote, so I don't know if that's considered free promotion. I'm not
I think that's great.
That.
I think more people should call into Free Talk Live and promote the stuff that they do.
And I hear that Mark Edge is on tonight, too. He was actually kind enough to write a quote for the back of the book. Hi, Mark. This is the book Ant Farm from several years ago that I had released.
Excellent.
And, yeah, thank you. And, yeah, so it's sort of an allegorical piece. It's modeled after Orwell's Animal Farm, in fact. And it's just a kind of a really simple way of understanding how free markets could work and also, unfortunately, how they can devolve into so-called democracy and eventual fascism and dictatorship and so on. So I think, you know, I tried to make it an easy read. I tried to make it digestible for 12-year-olds as well as adults. So, yeah, if anyone's interested, there's free chapters at antfarmbook.com, and that's all I wanted to say.
And what's your name for them searching, you know, the author?
Sure. It's Stephen with a P-H and Gray with an E.
Thank you so much for that. I really appreciate
now,
that.
I have a question.
Oh.
Are there any, like, ant eaters that come in and destroy the ant colonies and...
There are not anteaters, but there are cockroaches. They're sort of the fascist insects in the book.
It kind of reminds me of A Bug's Life because they were controlled by the. It wasn't cockroaches; it was crickets,
grasshoppers.
Yeah, grasshoppers.
Okay, yeah.
Oh yes.
Well,
a little bit like that, I suppose. Well, thank you guys, and please continue the great work in spreading liberty. I appreciate it as always.
And actually, I keep forgetting. I wanted to text Mark specifically. I was just like so, I was like cleaning yesterday and I was like on Kratom and I was getting so much done and I kept thinking I got to text this to Mark and I really wanted to tell you, Mark, that you should write a book. It'd be so easy and you have lots of different topics. You could like co-author it with your friend Alex and you guys both know a lot about freedom in the world, which also ties into the topic I wanted to discuss in a second. Why don't you write a book, Mark?
Well, I'm actually working on a book as we speak.
Really?
We'll see how long it takes to get out. But I had an author approach me when I was in Prospera, and they said that basically if I wrote a book, they would make it interesting. And that's so, you know, he thinks that, you know, part of my story, part of our story, part of Free Talk Live story is very interesting. And so he wants to see more.
Oh, I'd be really happy for you to write about that topic.
So it's like a biography type thing, or is it just specifically certain sections of your life, or like specifically Free Talk Live type stuff, or?
Right. Well, I figure I'll just do the autobiography, and he can decide what's interesting and what's not.
Ah, okay.
Your whole life? Okay, that's really cool.
Well, Free Talk Live is close to it.
Yeah.
You know, if you cut out the first 12 years as uninteresting, then, you know, Free Talk Live has got to be, let's see, 20. It's 20 years of my 53 of them, so.
Nice. I think that will be so cool, and I really hope you get that done. I started writing down my thoughts because I wasn't really going to announce it yet, but it's pretty much definitely going to happen. I'm going to speak at a conference called the Windy City Justice Conference in Chicago in April, and so I have to write a speech about my experiences with the FBI raid and the injustice system anyway. So I think I'm going to try to turn that into a book. I don't think it'd be that hard once I finally finish the speech. It's going to be like 30 minutes long.
Yeah, I was actually going to say, I've heard a tip from some people who've done, you know, authoring before, but not, you know, small scale. Like, these people have actually had their books published, you know, before all this, you know, online self-authoring type stuff. And one of the things they do, or some of these people do, is they just dictate, and then later on they listen to it and write it back, because it's easier for them to speak it out than to type it. For some people, for some people, the typing is just fine. But yeah, that's a suggestion for that. Hmm.
That's a really good idea, actually.
It is a good idea.
So, Mark, I really thought it would be a good topic to bring up while you're on the show, this 2024 Index of Economic Freedom from the Heritage Foundation.
Well, and I'm excited that Colin's here for this, too. So please go ahead.
Yeah, this is a good topic. I'm glad we got it. Yeah.
So Ian and I, like, accidentally found that they had published their new one, because he was asking me about specifically Finland and Norway and the other one that's up there. Sweden.
Sweden.
And so
the other one.
He was asking me how they rank, because he read a book all about Finland in jail, and the lady was really trying to sell it to the readers that it was more free than the United States. And I think this is the one that it actually does rank as more free, at least economically, than the United States. And Finland doesn't sound that bad, actually, but the only thing about that book he was reading was that it was really using kind of sneaky words, saying stuff like, we have smarter government, so it's not really free.
Best I can tell from the research I've done recently, China may be on its last legs. You know, like, just, you can't govern the way they've governed and be successful for long.
So what do you think will happen when China dies? I think Skeeter would be really interested in that question, because he wants to accelerate the death of the United States. But I've told him, like, even if he was able to be in charge and make that happen, I don't think it'll be good. There will just be a void where new thieves and liars and lunatics and parasites, a new gang will come, call themselves the government, and be just as bad.
Wait one second. I'm taking some notes right here. You're saying after this government collapses, I can make my own?
Please do.
I don't think you're good enough at being a cult leader yet, so work on that, and then maybe you can get some followers once this government collapses. But here's what they have to say here from theheritage.org about their new economic index. They say that this is the 30th anniversary of the Index of Economic Freedom. That's interesting. So they started this 30 years ago.
I bet things have changed a little bit, and the United States has slid down the charts.
Yeah, actually, they say that everything has. Like, on average, the world's freedom has slid down the charts.
Mm. Yeah.
The Heritage...
But, by the way, I did check with on the Freedom in the 50 States, which ranks all the states and their freedom, and New Hampshire has grown in freedom over the shorter period of time. It hasn't been 30 years that they've been ranking these things.
Hmm. Is it still above Florida?
Yes.
Nice.
New Florida isn't much competition to New Hampshire. I mean, New Hampshire's the freest of U.S. states and is going to be as free as a state could be. But that's kind of like winning the one-legged race. You know, it's not that great, right? Like, you're still part of the United States. The FBI can still kick your door in anytime they want. The IRS can give you an audit anytime they want. They can pull your passport, you know, all that stuff. So hard to call yourself free inside the U.S.
Well, don't you think that if the FBI wanted to, they would come break down my door of my condo in Honduras?
I mean, there is some truth to that. I mean, there's a certain amount of resources it takes for them to do that. They do go after people in other countries, you know, like even well, sometimes with the help of those governments, but sometimes without. I mean, U.S. Marshals will go out and find, people, you know, Americans, I should say, who've gone abroad that they're looking for.
They say the U.S. Marshal always gets his man. Sounds gay.
Well,
I was literally going to say that.
The only one that I know that they've gone and got is Manuel Noriega. Now, I'm sure they would have gotten Edward Snowden if they wanted him too. But as far as being in another country, you better have some big political capital. it'd be one thing for, you know, one agent, one special agent to have a vendetta against you and your husband. But I don't think that's going to be just, well, it's not the same thing, right? Like being inside of that special agent's jurisdiction versus being outside of the country entirely, there's orders of magnitude more political pull to go after you.
We have Scott calling from New Hampshire. Scott, what's on your mind?
Hey, Bonnie. Not much. Just enjoying this nice weather we're having right now.
Oh, yeah. It feels like it's spring already in New Hampshire. It would be freezing cold to Mark, who's in Florida.
What have you done to enjoy the weather?
Well, I wish I was skiing, but that's the trade-off. But I've been going on walks and enjoying being outside.
Ah, okay. Yeah, nice.
Nice. I went on a walk with my dog today, and last night he was just so happy because recently I've just been sending him back in the backyard and telling him to stay close, and he likes going on whole walks. So it's in like the 50s in New Hampshire, so we're excited, okay? In Florida, is it really, really hot already, Mark?
Well, it actually was pretty warm today.
Like hotter than 80 degrees?
Like short sleeves, shirts, and a little bit of sweating.
So I know that's not really what you called in about today, Scott.
Because we're mind readers.
Yeah, usually what you have to talk about is Javier Milei related, the president of Argentina.
That's right. It's been quite a wild week in Argentina. So if you'd indulge me or want to hear about it.
I do. I heard that he gave a speech that was declared the most based speech of all time by you.
Yeah, it was absolutely based. He did this speech to start ordinary sessions in the Congress. And these speeches typically are in the daytime, noon or whatever. And Milei decided to do it at night, 9 p.m., in prime time in Argentina. There's all these rumors going about of what is he going to say and all this stuff. And turned out that it was the biggest political speech ever watched in Argentina. I saw that the World Cup, they won the World Cup in December of 2022, got a 60 rating or something. And this one got a 50 rating. So it was really, really widely watched. And it couldn't have been probably better. And it was absolutely hilarious to boot.
I have to admit, I've been out of the loop a little bit because I was down in Mexico at an Acapulco, and then I just got back, you know, last week sometime, and so I've been like meaning to watch it and everything. I just haven't even had a chance. So it's great we're getting to talk about it, and you'll be able to tell me what I need to think about this.
I haven't finished, but I started listening to some of it, and I got really distracted because I watched this whole long version where it shows him like driving up with all of his fleet and then like walking and kissing all the people that he meets, and like it was so fascinating. Not only is it really beautiful there and all the people are so beautiful, I was like, who is that lady? She's so pretty and cool. If she's like a bad person, like on a bad team, I'm gonna be sad. But I looked it up and she was on La Libertad Avanza, which is the libertarian basically thing in Argentina.
Yeah, I'm sure you're referring to Vicky Vishorel.
Yes.
Who is his vice president.
Yeah.
And she is a pretty lady.
I thought that was so cool that there's a pretty, well-dressed lady who seemed to be like running stuff there, and she's vice president, and she's a libertarian. That's just so cool.
Yeah, she's quite based. I watched her debates. She did two debates, and she absolutely wiped the floor of Massa's vice president and in the general election. So she is feisty. She's pretty cool herself. She is just very feisty and does not take any BS.
Now, what are the takeaways from this speech? Because, I mean, I've heard some people talking about it. Of course, they've said, you know, based and things like that. But other people have said it's re-energized what he's doing. Like, how exactly did he do that? Was it just talking about, you know, what's going on, you know, economically there? Or was it kind of like a State of the Union type thing? You know, what was it?
It was kind of all of the above. It was a over an hour long speech. I think it was an hour and 15 minutes. So it was very stylish, as Bonnie pointed out. They had the horses riding up, and everybody's dressed in very nice clothes, and it's a beautiful place that they're doing it, which is the camera, Congress for the deputies. This whole thing, that this whole system, this whole Peronis-Kirchner system, has impoverished the people to such a great extent and made their lives so miserable. And this is a educated, very beautiful culture, very beautiful buildings, very proud.
What do you think? Because, I mean, even poor people could react to a situation like that and say, oh, well, we just need more socialism. Oh, well, we just need to up how much they're giving us. So what do you think it is? What do you think, like, the fundamental difference is that's caused them to react and go in the other direction, at least some portion of the population who voted for him?
Yeah, so I think one thing is they did elect a center-right guy, Mauricio Macri, in 2015, and he really didn't do anything. He was kind of like a Republican that didn't make many changes. He did this gradualism thing, and he gradually just did nothing. He also was very weak. But he didn't do what Malay is doing, which is Malay is doing, using all of his powers as a executive. He didn't do any of that. Right. McCree could have done that, but he didn't.
Yeah.
He was a weak president. So, but he was not corrupt.
Hmm.
The previous government before that, as we discussed, Cristina Kirchner, was extremely corrupt. She stole billions of dollars from the Treasury and got caught with doing that. So,
yeah, it's okay if you're corrupt. And I mean, this is what the government's used to. They like that.
Right. Yeah. Then they elect another left-wing government where Cristina becomes vice president, and the economy just falls off a cliff. So they had these two other, the center-right, they had the Kirchners for the last 20 years. The economy was just terrible. And then you have Malay rising through all these years, going on television, building a movement of libertarians in Argentina to the point where he was wildly popular and got elected to their Congress. And he was talking about all the things that people wanted to hear. The other parties weren't talking about inflation, believe it or not. They have 200% inflation. And they weren't talking about it. Massa, the only thing he ever said he wanted to do for inflation
was
a
CBDC, yeah.
Central bank digital currency. That's what he wanted to do to solve inflation. So, and then Malay is talking about all the things that matter. They're talking about all the stuff that doesn't matter. Malay's talking about all the things that mattered. And they had disgraced themselves, those two parties, and then Malay was there to
be
that third choice, and people won the jungle primary, which usually guarantees that you're going to win the general election, and made it into a runoff, and he got the most votes ever. He got almost 15 million votes, so he got 56% of the vote. So, and his popularity, according to polls, has actually grown since he became president. So. He's doing some interesting things where he's going after his opponents in a very moral way through exposing their corruption. He exposed the corruption of the previous president who stole millions of dollars worth of commissions. Did we talk about that one?
Yeah, I was going to ask, what did he find out in these audits? Anything interesting come out of that? He broke the news that this former president was corrupt? Is that what you're saying?
he didn't do it at the speech.
Scott, there was something else you wanted to tell us about Javier Milei, the only ANCAP president in the world down in Argentina. And what was that?
Oh, not much. I was just going to talk about how Milei's back was against the wall for sure before this speech, and how he put it on his enemies with a couple proposals. One is the pretty humorously titled anti-casta law, or anti-casta proposals. So these are proposals to limit the influence of the elites or the caste in Argentina, and to reduce their influence and allow a society that's more governed by the top down instead of the elites. Yeah, and there are some really interesting things in that, and this is where he's changing the penal code to making printing money a criminal offense.
Oh,
so that nice. If you've heard this online, where the central bankers and the minister of economy, if they print money, since Javier Milei considers that counterfeit and theft, it is a criminal offense.
And didn't he say it's going to be charged as a crime against humanity?
Right. It's a crime against humanity.
Well, the funny thing about that is, I mean, no governor in the United States could just print their own money. So, you know, I mean, the idea that they would think that they could is kind of amusing. Maybe they could previously. I don't know. I'm certainly not an expert in all this, but there's no governor in the U.S. that can just print a dollar. I think in Utah they passed a law that they could, the Constitution says that they could, so long as it is backed by gold and silver or something.
Yes, well, in the U.S. Federal Constitution. And I'm not going to get the exact wording right, but something like cannot make anything money other than gold and silver, and it's not prohibited to the states to do that either. So, but there's not much of a difference if one state creates a gold coin and another one creates a gold coin. It's still the same gold. So it doesn't really matter. You know, when you start making the paper certificates for it, that's a whole nother ball game, which is specifically why they even wrote that into the Constitution and say it has to be, you know, gold and silver.
Yeah, there's no way that any state would say, oh, yeah, we're going to take our gold and silver that we have saved up here, we're going to turn it into dollars, right? Like, they're never going to mint a... even if it was a $2,000 1 ounce gold coin, whatever, I don't know what gold is right now, but they're not going to do that because then their gold would go out into circulation and perhaps it would be worth $2,500.
Yeah. Yeah. They wouldn't want to do that. Although interesting thing to mention is that Texas actually has a state, would it be depository or repository?
Okay.
Texas has its own gold and silver reserves.
Hmm.
I think it's the only state in the whole country that has anything like that.
Yeah, it's interesting. Argentina can, the governors can print their own money, and we discussed that last time. It always ends up in a failure. I think Buenos Aires might try doing it as well, province, because they have a big Kirchner governor.
So this is just referring to basically like they're making their own money. They can't print more of the peso, right?
They can't print more of the peso, but they can print. They can create their own monies.
Okay, so
and,
that's all that he's making illegal is like them doing that again. Their type of money that failed.
No, we're talking about the Congress financing the Treasury.
Mm-hmm.
So spending more than you have, creating a physical deficit, and then using the central bank, which is Argentina's central bank's very bad, notoriously bad. To finance that with the printing of pesos, with the printing of money, monetary emission, mm-hmm. which had been happening at an enormous rate for years in Argentina, thus the 200% inflation.
So it's something to mention to the audience is that the same exact thing happens in the U.S., where our federal government spends more than it brings in, issues treasury notes or treasuries, basically. And it was the case that foreign buyers around the world were buying them up, so that was alleviating the inflationary pressures. But right now, they aren't doing that, and it is actually debt monetization currently in the United States by the federal government. So when I said a minute ago, like, everything he's doing would have to eventually happen here, like, yeah, we are in the same boat, and it's going to hit us harder, you know, if we lose the world reserve currency status.
We don't have a Milei who is running in the United States. And no one is coming to save us. You've got Trump and Biden. Both of them were absolutely irresponsible in office, and you cannot expect anything different from them when it comes to the budget. And, like, ladies and gentlemen, you cannot vote your way out of this anymore. You need to figure something else out, because your nation is going into a hyperinflation spiral. At this point, there is no simple answer. You can't simply say, hey, we'll stop printing money, which means, by the way, making loans higher. So suddenly the interest rate jumps up, and then the housing market can stay stalled, and it just gets worse and worse. Or we'll print a bunch of money, in which case inflation goes up, and then everything at the grocery store costs more. Which one do you do? It's a Hobson's choice. It's a Hobson's choice that was given to you by a bunch of irresponsible, crooked old perverts for the last 20 years, and the libertarians have been telling you. Libertarians have been saying it over and over again.
Yeah, sorry I interrupted. I was saying it's worse than 20 years.
Yep.
I forgot what I was about to say.
At least 20 years, right? How's that?
In the year 2000, the debt was only $5 trillion. So the year 2000, the debt was $5 trillion. It's gone from $5 trillion
almost 40,
$34-35 trillion 23-24 years later. That's insane. When I was born, it was $2 trillion.
If you plot out all these numbers for all of these different things, they are all correlated with exponential curves. So, I mean, you see the types of what would you call the stimulus packages? Like George Bush's one was, you know, only a quarter of a trillion, right? $250 billion. And then I'm trying to remember the numbers off the top of my head, but then the next one that came out was like $500 or $600 billion.
Did Bush give a stimulus package for? All I know about stimulus package I know about is like during COVID.
Oh no, there have been stimulus packages before that, but
it was like to the banks or something, not to the people.
Right, 2008.
There might be two different things, because I think there was literally a stimulus type package, but then there was also the TARP, the toxic acid. What does that stand for? You know, Scott.
Relief program.
Relief program. Yeah, and I think
Stimulus package, I think, came out in 2002, or something like that.
Yeah.
Bush sent it. I remember where I was when I got it. I don't remember what year that was.
Yeah. And that number was I remember that number very clearly. It was like a quarter of a trillion, so $250 billion. But then the next one that happened was like $500 or $600. And then, you know, now we're up in the trillions on them. And if you plot them out, you see that they grow on an exponential curve, just like the debt itself does and everything else. It's all going on this exponential curve. And you get this another aspect of that exponential curve is the time shrinks too. So you're saying, oh, every 100 days. Well, it's 100 days right now, but, you know, two or three of those 100 day cycles in, it's going to get cut in half. It'll be like every 50 days, you know, the debt's going up by a trillion. It'll be every 25, and then it'll be every 12, and then, you know, so on to where you're finally in hyperinflationary territory.
Right, and Trump is such a – he did, as Mark brought up, Trump spent a lot of money, and a lot. He was very reckless with how he spent. But he also hurt the country in another way. To try to lower the interest payments, he put it all in short-term debt.
Yes. I was just telling somebody that the other day.
He took it out of, like, 10-year bonds and stuff. in treasury debt. Well, that will lower that will lower your short-term interest payments. But what happens when you have inflation and the Fed starts to actually raise interest rates? That's like an adjustable rate mortgage, and so all of a sudden the interest payments just skyrocket as they have in the last couple of years, to the point now where like 20% of the taxes is going to interest payments because of just a slightly higher interest rate.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners, this is Riley Blake. I enjoy Free Talk Live, and I know you do too, but finding time to listen to an entire episode isn't always easy, so I produce the Daily Digest. I appreciate those of you who have supported me on Patreon and sent Bitcoin to me to thank me for producing these digests. For those who wish to support me on Patreon, visit patreon.com/crblake86. If you wish to send Bitcoin, visit patreon.com/crblake86 for those details. That's patreon.com/crblake86. Thank you.
TJ the Spy. TJ, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
Yeah, sounds great. What's on your mind tonight, TJ? It's so great to hear from you.
It's great to be with you and Colin tonight. I was thinking about...
What about Mark?
Yeah, and Mark as well, yes. I mean, how's it feel being married to a Bitcoin gangster?
Oh, well, when he's not in jail, it's great.
Yeah, when you're not giving your house with the tanks running through the front of the living room and flashbangs going off everywhere.
Well, I am one of those people that needs drama and excitement in my life, so let's just say it's great.
Yes.
Imagine more drama.
Well, I was calling to suggest that the Shire Free Church, since Ian apparently has a lot of Bitcoin, as you know, he forfeited 101, the Shire Free Church forfeited 101 Bitcoin during the raid, along with $800,000 in cash to help repay all the alleged fraud victims. And I said, you know what? The Shire Free Church ought to offer to buy the town of Keene. So I looked up, the city of Keene has about $2.3 billion in property. That's all the houses and businesses assessed. And if you just wanted to buy them all outright, it would be about 40,000 Bitcoin. So I'm going to write a letter to the city attorney and all the council members suggesting that we buy the city of Keene and rename it Freeman, New Hampshire.
Oh, that's a great name. If I was going to buy a part of New Hampshire, it wouldn't be Keene. No offense to Keene. I wouldn't want it to be in the middle of over here, too close to Vermont and in Massachusetts, you know. I'd want it a little close to Manchester, and I would create a city there and call it Bonnie's Dream City. But yeah, I just wouldn't buy Keene specifically. Like, I just feel like this is such a statist area. We would still have all these terrible Denzians.
Maybe somewhere like Henniker or Ware, maybe?
Grafton, Croydon.
Yeah, that's also the middle of nowhere.
That's too cold.
Oh, yeah. It's too cold.
Too cold up there, yeah. Somewhere level with Keene, but like closer to Manchester.
Yeah, well, James and I are getting a little fed up with Denver because they're cutting all the government services by 10% to make room for the illegal immigrants flooding the city. We have... I don't know. I think it was 30,000-40,000 in a city of 1 million. And it's like, well, that's a huge population increase, and there's no place to put all these people. And so you're getting squeegee patrol. You come to a stoplight. At every stoplight, there's a guy with a squeegee wanting to squeegee your window for money.
Oh,
and
that's
what
Colin
does. Yeah, it's awful because it's like, hey, we're taxpayers, and we're getting cut services to make room for these people who aren't taxpayers. And when you subsidize homelessness, you get more of it.
Hey, at least they're offering you services, you know. Those are the good those are the good ones.
I honestly don't like homeless. Okay, that sounds really terrible. I don't really like the idea of living around a bunch of homeless people either, which is why I don't like living in Keene, but I wouldn't move to Manchester. And I want to create my own city because I do want to live in a city. I'm not one of those people who wants to live in the middle of nowhere like Colin and thinks it's just better because of that. and I don't want there to be welfare, and I don't want there to be homeless people. So I'm going to one day make a city, disallow welfare, disallow governments, and homeless people will naturally not happen.
You're
going to
make
there.
A city and disallow governments.
Yeah.
It sounded a little like a, you know, oxymoron kind
of. Well, it'll be my government, so it won't count.
So it'll be like a principality is what you're saying.
I don't really know what that
means.
Yeah,
I mean, well, then, you know, like a kingdom, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so then you'll be like Princess Bonnie or something, right?
Yeah. But yeah. I won't enforce things on people, so it won't be that big of a deal.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And there'll be no homeless people.
Sure. You'll be the good king. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, just like Mark and his island.
40,000 Bitcoin at current market rates would be $2.4 billion. So I think Ian could probably swing it, and I think it'd be funny just to buy the town for yucks.
Oh, my gosh. TJ.
Well, I don't think that Ian could swing it.
Yeah, I don't want to comment on that, but I just think that he wouldn't want to spend his money on that.
I just think that Bonnie's absolutely out of her mind if she thinks that she's just going to disappear. This guy's going to go after Ian again.
But what is Ian going to be doing? He's just going to write books and be on the radio. They don't go after people who aren't selling Bitcoin. Like, that's why.
Oh, yeah, you're going to get some justice out of the justice system this time, aren't you?
But what is he going to do that's going to get him arrested? Like,
Bonnie, is your dry hair more important than your husband going back to prison?
He's not going to go back to prison.
Well, the dry hair plus the moisturizer.
Well, moisturizer. I kind of like to point to the Chris Cantwell phenomenon. So Chris Cantwell, you know, he made a big name for himself by going the crying Nazi, went on to a Vice News article and did his little, you know, Jews will not replace us with tiki torches march. Well, then the FBI started watching him and they got him on interstate threatening, which was complete and utter BS because, you know, if you throw him in jail for what he said, you'd have to throw half the internet in jail for saying, yeah, I'm going to come kill you or whatever. Shut the F up and die. And, you know, you'd have to, you know, do all that. So they have not come after Chris Cantwell, you know, since he's gotten out of prison. So
they did with Jim Bell. So Jim Bell, the guy who wrote Assassination Politics, got thrown in basically for writing that article in the same way that Ian got thrown in jail for essentially chasing this one FBI agent around. And then when Jim Bell got out and he wasn't sufficiently apologetic, they went after him again and threw him back in jail. So I don't know what they're going to do with Cantwell in the future. I mean, at this point, they can get it. Well, today.
Yeah, I'm just telling you. I didn't know if you knew.
If they drug Christopher Cantwell in front of a jury in New Hampshire and they said, this is the man who killed Jimmy Hoffa.
Yes.
They would convict him. They would convict
and
him straight away.
They'd have to play the whole... you know, I can't even say the name of the song because it would probably be censored on the radio. But just having to listen to some of Chris Cantwell's songs, edgy songs, and imagine a jury listening to these saying, yep,
now, come
guilty.
On, TJ, you like listening to his songs.
I had
don't
no
you?
Idea he had music.
I didn't either.
You love his sultry voice. It's what you get into the romantic mood by listening to.
Well, in all
Cantwell.
Seriousness, Chris Cantwell is responsible for introducing me to James.
Oh,
and because Christopher Cantwell and James were living together in with Rapture in the same house.
Oh,
yeah, right, and I saw.
I mean,
James
you know what happens when men live together, right?
Yeah, well, I said to Chris, I said, Chris, I am glad I'm not a woman because your house is filthy. Oh, my God, there were dirty dishes in the sink. And he said, if dirty dishes are what it takes to keep me from men having sexual attraction to me, I said, oh, God. I said to Chris, Chris, I want you to have a wife that makes you happy. That's not one of these whack jobs like Cricket Slick.
Are you praying for him? To find a wife.
I do pray for him because, you know, it started as a joke. Everybody would be like, ha ha ha, Chris, the Jews are out to get you. And then at some point it stopped being funny and it became a serious mental disorder that he has where he truly.
No, it's
true. Is this the origin story here?
This is the origin story. Yeah, the, it was like when I met him, he was normal. He was normal, but then all of a sudden, when he found out that James was gay, he just got crazy. And
really, he was mad at James for being gay?
No, no, he was just disoriented because James is like a stealth gay.
Yeah, that's what I heard. I heard that a friend of mine worked
like,
with
some
him,
gays are like
know.
You can tell they're gay from their voice.
Yeah.
And or they play the violin and
Yeah, I know a guy who plays the violin.
We have Skeeter calling from California. Skeeter, what's on your mind? Sorry. I'm sorry. Had you muted? Could you start over? Accident, sorry.
It's your boy, the evolutionary capitalist.
Son, I've been missing you.
What's that?
I'm joking around. I said, son, I've been missing you. Where have you been?
Son? I'm your daddy, homie. Hey, all hail the savior of democracy, Javier Milei. Hey, Mark, you know why ANCAPs don't move out of the country? Because deep down they love free riding, supreme national defense, cheap world reserve currency, and government roads and infrastructure. That's why they're plotting to steal it.
It's probably the infrastructure, because you get the you get the defense everywhere. Nobody's going to invade Honduras or Guatemala or Belize because of the United States military already.
But they love constitutional rights.
Well, constitutional rights only apply if you have, like, they're all based on the government and what it might do. So, the right to freedom of speech doesn't apply to me and you. It applies from you and the government and me and the government. The right to keep and bear arms doesn't have anything to do with me and you. Like, you can't carry a gun into my house. But it has to do with you and the government and me and the government.
It's a small price to pay for supreme national defense and cheap currency to start a business with. I'll gladly trade freedom for what government provides. I think we all get more than we pay for, as long as you don't consider the debt.
I think you're wrong about that starting the business thing. This is, the United States is not a welcoming place to start businesses. I mean, it's better than some countries, but not all of them.
Yeah, have you ever started a business? Because there's so many taxes you have to pay.
Regulations.
To start businesses. Yeah, regulations on what you can and can't do.
No, it's a big price.
The first thing you're worried about is a business.
There's a reason so many businesses have left the United States and gone to other places. And it's not just cheap labor. It's, you know, all sorts of regulations and stuff, too.
No, it's cheap capital, number one. Number two, it's supreme national defense. If you're worried about your country getting taken over, like in Ukraine or something, you're not likely to start a business there. And we get more than we pay for with national defense. As an accelerationist, I welcome it. But, of course, I do want to accelerate it, just unlike what Milei's doing, which is saving democracies. This is what I really wanted to talk about.
I don't even think he claims that, and none of us do. None of us talk about saving democracy when we talk about Milei. Like, I don't understand where you got that.
That's what he's doing.
Did he ever say that? Did we ever say that?
Yeah, I got all my sources down, because apparently when Skeeter says something, I need three independent sources. While Scott can say anything, and it becomes gospel, right? That's how it works on Free Talk Live. But
yeah, that's how it works.
I got all these sources.
Anyways, go ahead.
You can look at his strategy. Look what he's doing, and I got all the news clippings if you need it. But he's raising taxes. He's cutting government spending that would have been cut anyway if you had a fiscal collapse or a crisis. And he's trying to pay back all government stakeholders. He's saving the democratic parasite. That's what he's doing. And that's what your ANCAPs are cheering on. You guys should be ashamed of yourselves. Ashamed!
Believe it or not, there is a little bit of truth in what you say, but, you know, I don't think that you're completely right in saying if he wasn't there, some of these things were going to happen anyways. I mean, you'd be surprised how bad and how long things could stay bad for a really long time. The Soviet Union lasted for like 80 years, you know. You can already see that in Argentina it's been bad on and off for like 100 years with multiple currency revaluations. You know, it's actually so bad that a lot of Argentines have left the country and gone to other places.
What does prolonging the collapse do other than delay optimal, like the optimal system from coming about? That's what you guys don't understand about accelerationism. It's accelerating the collapse so you can get to a higher
state. I just want to make sure we're on the same page. What are you saying this optimum state's going to be?
Evolutionary capitalism.
See, is what I always tell them, is that there will just be a void, and there's going to be whoever wants to will just become the government. The worst criminals will become the government.
What is evolutionary capitalism?
Evolutionary capitalism is...
Oh, did I? Oh.
Evolutionary capitalism is the true ethic of the market. It rejects all Austrian analysis, all the Austrian school, all libertarian principles, which just steal property ethic from democracy, which is Lockean property rights. That is not a market ethic, right? Evolutionary capitalism focuses on that morality comes from evolution, number one, and it uses capitalism in order to distribute its ethic.
Did we get evolutionary capitalism when the Western Roman Empire fell?
It's part of it. All these systems that collapse, it's part of the evolutionary process.
Which collapse will bring us to evolutionary capitalism. You're just saying more collapse is good.
Unfortunately, so economics is a relatively new soft science. I mean, it's going to take a while for us to understand the evolutionary. I mean, we have to go through a lot of so people have to learn through collapse. They have to.
Well, can we learn without collapse? Is what the question I would ask is that.
Do you think people can learn that communism is bad just from reading Mises, which is all false rubbish?
And apparently they can't learn from a collapse either. I mean communism is responsible for more people dying than any other system, but still you have blue-haired lesbians coming out of college saying, yay, communism!
Sarah, in New Mexico, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind?
Oh, yeah, you know, I just want to say that I'm so excited. You know, I got 9 people put under me in my network marketing, so I'm just so happy. I got moved around.
So let me get this clear. Did you sign these 9 people up for the network marketing, or did your network marketing company just kind of put them up underneath you?
I didn't sign anybody up, and then my enroller moved me, and then I winded up having 9 customers put under me, so which means I'm going to be getting like 7% of free loyalty dollars. You know, it's now we get free product dollars.
Oh, so you don't get dollars. You don't get dollars, Sarah? You get company dollars, so they're only
spendable.
Those
might be worth more than U.S. dollars before long.
Yeah, one day.
Well, I mean, basically, it's only I could use it to use buy their products after I finish ordering 35 points or more, which is my monthly commitment. After that, I could buy... Using those product dollars coming up, I can buy free products with it.
You're saving $7 in points or company dollars.
Okay, 7% coming from 9 people is about around $3. So $3 times 9, it'll be around about $27.
What's the product, can I ask?
Huh?
What are the products? I'm curious.
Well, we have 4,000 products. My favorite is our all-natural environmental laundry care products and our cleaning products. And then also we got our vitamins, high-quality vitamins. But I get to give out a lot more soaps and lotions, and we have a
Bonnie needs that.
Special,
Bonnie needs those soaps and lotions.
Why?
You just said you need all that lotion for the desert air.
If I move to Utah, I'll go through Albuquerque and see you, Sarah, and get some lotion for my desert air skin.
Well, the thing is, we're not deliverers. You know, like all the other companies, the network, I mean, you're a deliverer. They order whenever they want it, but we just set you up with a company. Or you order online, you order yourself, your monthly, we just hook you up with a company. We're just giving referrals. You order yourself and you have it shipped to your house. the consumer direct marketing. So then I think we have like a really super top quality products. And the thing I like about it the most is that you being a committed customer, you get these free product dollars. Because they always ask me, like, well, I mean, I could go to Costco, Sam's Club, Walmart. I've been doing it all my life. Why should I order every month with you guys? And my biggest answer is that being, you know, you could get free product dollars from 30 spots after so many years.
Now, what did you call this? You called it a marketing what? A marketing...
It's also called the consumer direct marketing. Consumer direct marketing.
Yeah, is this any way different from like
multi-level marketing?
I don't know. The model is kind of similar, but this company doesn't do deliveries. You know what I mean? And then we don't sell stuff. It's against the policy. We just set you up with the company and you order yourself 35 points or more.
Well, I think it's very interesting that Sarah has become a capitalist and she's got a job now.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.